Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning. On behalf of our church here, Newport-on-Tay, Church of Scotland, and all the members of our community, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. We want to also welcome those who are worshiping with us via Zoom, and those who will be listening to our service afterwards from our church's website. And on our website, you don't listen only to our Sunday services. Every Sunday, every day of the week, the minister does reflections, and you can listen to them from our website. Today, we're having a special service, a dedication service of the Guild. I don't know whether the right one is to say it's a dedication or rededication, but whichever one, there is something related to dedication happening this morning. And so there are several people who will be leading the service with myself, beginning with the call to worship that will be done by Catherine.
Our call to worship today comes from Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Amen. And our first hymn for this morning is, I Will Enter His Gates With Thanksgiving In My Heart.
Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Gracious, loving Father, we come into your presence this morning with joy and adoration. When we look around at your wonderful creation, we see how your tender care provides for your creatures and for us, your people. We bring our songs of praise this morning to bless you and magnify your holy name. You are our awesome creator, and we worship you, dear Lord. We pray for your blessing on this church, the Guild, and our church family here in Newport-on-Tay. Help us to get to know one another and you, Lord, in a deeper, more meaningful way. Father, we know that you see right into our hearts, our desires, our greed, and materialism. You know that in this world we are under great pressure and at times fall into sin. Help us not to judge others, delight in gossip, or take your name in vain, but to show us how to live life in a way that is pleasing to you. Help us to love one another in a Christ-like way, building your house and bringing our own special gifts to serve one another and you, Lord. We know we fall short of what you desire from us and ask that through your Holy Spirit, you forgive us and cleanse our hearts. We pray that we can come to you this morning without our minds wandering onto worldly things, but to concentrate wholly on you. Open our hearts to hear the things you want to say to us through your word, so that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is 484, Great God, Your Love Has Called Us Here.
Good morning, children. Hello, everyone. How are you today? Good? Looks like a better day than last week. with the sun shining outside. Did you have a good week? You all had a good week. It's great. So we are back to our children's address this morning. And I want to start by again asking a few questions. Does anyone know how old this building is? Any of you know how old this building is? Don't think so. Anyone? How old is this building, congregation? How many? 154. Approximately 154. There is no one here who is 154 years of age, so we will manage any answer. Now, let me ask another question. How many people do you think participated in building this church? Not really the number, but people with different gifts. Who are the people you think were involved in building this church house? Who are those who build houses? Yes. Builders, okay. But there are so many different people, builders, who do different things before you have a house like this. Can you remember some of them? You need builders, of course. Who do you need again? Congregation. Do you want to help your children? Joiners? Bricklayers? Plumbers? Electricians? Window fitters? How do they call those who do decorations? Interior designers. What did they design? Architects? Stonemasons. Many different people. Carpenters, okay? To fit these doors and do all those, the woodwork. So many different people worked on this building. And that is why we are here, because they brought their gifts together and produced this beautiful structure. And of course, for a house to stand like this, it needs a good foundation, right? If the foundation is not good enough, this building would not stand. So from the foundation to the building, woodwork, whatever has been done in this place, you have different people who have contributed their gifts and their talents. Now, the Apostle Paul says something similar when he speaks about we are different parts but one body. And he says, for example, your hands have a particular function that it carries out. Yes? Your feet or your legs, your eyes, your ears, and all these things make up your body. If you don't have hands, what will happen? You will not be able to write. That's the easy one that comes. If you don't have hands, you will not be able to write. If you don't have feet, you will not be able to walk. If you don't have eyes, you can't see. Of course, we know that modern technology, even those who are blind, there is a way they can see. So, but the lesson here is that all these things, when we bring the different gifts that we have together, we can produce something that is powerful and something that is nice. Coming to our own lessons, we all have different gifts. Maybe your gift is to make somebody smile. What a gift. To make somebody, or to make people who are feeling hurt smile. Just by your own smile, you can make another person smile. Or just by talking politely to somebody, that's a gift. It can make them happy. Or by helping your friends to do something, or even helping at home to do chores. I know each time we ask our children to do something, they don't like it. You don't like doing chores. Even when you accept that, yes, this is what I will do. You don't want to wash the dirty dishes. You don't even want to go to bed in time. What we are learning is that all of us have a role to play. And if we take the bigger picture, in the church, we have different gifts. Some are teachers, some are preachers, All these things, when we bring them together for the good, it will produce something good for the church. So the question is, what gifts do you have? What do you think is your gift? What are you best at doing? Yes, do you want to share? Anything. Any answer you give me is correct. What are you good at? What are you good at? Ariel, you say you are good at gymnastics. Okay. So you entertain us with your gymnastics. We'll ask you one day to do some here. So, gymnastics, you are good at gymnastics. What are you good at? Dancing. Grace says she's good at dancing. All of you will entertain us. So you are part of the entertainment industry. What are you good at? Gymnastics, dancing, singing? No? Not singing? We are looking for more members to join the choir. But whatever gift you have, we have to use it for the good of the rest. And if we bring our gifts together as a church, then our community will thrive and all of us will be happy. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our children and we thank you for this children's address. Father, we pray that you will continue to strengthen these young minds as they listen to your word and the lessons they learn from it, that it will help them to grow into responsible children willing to contribute positively to society. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn is, Let Us Build a House Where Love Can Dwell.
The first reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. And that is on the overhead and on page 1175 of the Pew Bibles. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And the second reading is also from the New Testament. It's from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 9 to 11. And again, that's on the overhead or page 1146 in the Pew Bibles. For we are fellow workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for this reading of his holy word. Amen. We now sing the next hymn, which is hymn 465, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
us pray. Gracious and loving Father, as we prepare to hear your word, we humbly ask for your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds. Help us to receive your wisdom and let it take root deep within our souls. May your word speak powerfully into our lives, shaping us to be more like Christ, equipping us to serve you faithfully in all we do. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the living word. Amen. Good morning again, brothers and sisters in Christ. And this morning, I want to reflect with you on the theme suggested by the guild, let us build a house. There is an old joke about a man who bought a plot of land and was excited to build his dream house. He hired an architect and started construction. As the weeks went by, the builder noticed something strange. Every time they built a wall, the man would come by and push it. After a few days, the builder asked, "Why do you keep pushing the walls?" The man replied, "I just want to make sure it is sturdy." The builder laughed and said, "Sir, it is not about how much you push. It is about the foundation we have laid." This story reminds us of something crucial. No matter how much we push and strive in life, it is the foundation that determines the strength of what we build. Today, as we reflect on the theme, let us build a house, we are called to think about the spiritual foundations of our lives and the church. What are we building on? How are we contributing to the growth of God's house? And this resonates deeply with our texts from 1 Corinthians 3:9 to 11 and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16, which offer us a vision of what it means to be builders of God's kingdom. Let's reflect on three important aspects of kingdom building. The first is God's foundation. The second is God's equipping. And the third is God's plan for growth. So the first, God's foundation, Christ alone. St. Augustine of Hippo once said, "Christ is not valued at all unless he is valued above all." This beautifully sets the stage for our first point. The foundation of everything we do must be Christ. In 1 Corinthians, Paul makes it clear, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." The imagery is powerful. Without a solid foundation, even the grandest building will collapse. In the same way, our lives and ministries must be rooted in the solid rock of Christ. When we talk about building a house for God, we are not talking about bricks and mortar, but about a spiritual house, a living community built on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ is the cornerstone. This means that the guild's work, whether in outreach, charity, or fellowship, must always point back to him. As theologian Karl Barth once remarked, "To clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world." The foundation of the church is an act of defiance against worldly distractions, and that foundation is none other than Christ himself. And secondly, God's equipping, the gifts for building. Paul's letter to the Ephesians reminds us of something wonderful. "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry." Here, the Apostle Paul is emphasizing that God equips each of us with unique gifts to build his house. In other words, none of us are called to be mere spectators in this divine project. Each of us, with our different talents, is crucial to the work. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "The church is the church only when it exists for others." This means that the gifts God has given us are not for personal gain, but for building up the body of Christ. Some of us may teach, others may serve quietly in the background, and some may lead boldly from the front. The guild, too, is part of this body, uniquely equipped for ministry. Whether organizing community service, offering hospitality, or praying for others, every member is important. What's key is that our gifts, when used together, build something far greater than we could achieve alone. As C.S. Lewis, whom I like to quote often, puts it, "The church exists for nothing else but to draw men and women into Christ. And how do we do that? By using the gifts God has given us to serve, uplift, and build up one another." And then thirdly and finally, God's plan for growth. So our final point is about God's plan for the church. Growth not just in size, but in unity and maturity. Paul says, "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood." God's vision for his house is that it would be a unified and mature body reflecting the fullness of Christ. John Stott, who was an evangelical preacher of the Anglican Church and died in 2011, once remarked that we should not ask what is wrong with the world, for that diagnosis has already been given. Rather, we should ask what has happened to the salt and light. Stott reminds us that the growth of the church is not just about numerical increase. It is about becoming the salt and light of the world. Growth in unity means overcoming the divisions that so often plague our communities, whether they be political, social, or cultural. Moreover, growth in maturity means becoming more like Christ in every aspect of our lives. It is about being no longer tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but speaking the truth in love and growing together. When we are mature in Christ, we become a reflection of his grace and love to the world. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we go back into the world, we face the same pressures and temptations to build our lives on unstable foundations, on fleeting things like career success, material wealth, or personal accolades. Yet, Paul's message today calls us to something far more enduring. Happiness is secured through virtue. It is a good attained by man's own will. That is what St. Augustine remarked. But for us as Christians, that happiness is found when our will aligns with God's will, when we build our lives on the unshakable foundation of Christ, rather than the temporary promises the world offers. In a world that is decaying morally and spiritually, the task before us is both urgent and sacred. Every act of service, every prayer, every small gesture of kindness, these are not just simple deeds. They are the building blocks of a crumbling society. When we root our actions in Christ, we are not just contributing to something temporary. We are part of God's eternal work. Just as Saint Teresa of Avila said, "Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours." You are his hands and feet. Every one of us with our unique talents and abilities plays an irreplaceable role in the rebuilding of this world. And maybe, at times, you feel insignificant. Perhaps you wonder how your small acts of love and service can truly make a difference in the vast sea of needs around us. But as Paul reminds us, every gift in the body of Christ is essential. Your contribution, no matter how small it seems, is crucial to God's plan. You are not called to compare yourself to others, but to faithfully use what God has given you for the building up of his kingdom. So as we leave here today, let us go with renewed hope and purpose. We are builders in God's kingdom, and our foundation is unshakable. It is Christ. When we align our lives and efforts with God's will, he promises to bless the work of our hands. You are his instruments of grace in a world desperate for renewal. Step out with confidence, knowing that God's richest blessings are upon those who serve in faith and love. Together, we can rebuild God's church rooted in Christ, empowered by his Spirit, and united in love. May we be the hands that heal, the voices that proclaim hope, and the hearts that reflect the glory of his kingdom. Go in peace, ready to build, ready to serve, and ready to be part of God's transforming work even in the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the foundation you have laid for us in Jesus Christ. Help us to build upon that foundation with love, faith, and hope. Equip each of us with the gifts we need to serve and build your church. And may we do so with unity and maturity, growing ever closer to you. Bless the work of the Guild as they dedicate themselves to serving others in your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, "For I Am Building a People of Power," Junior Praise 47. And during the last stanza, I will ask members of the Guild to step forward for the dedication. It's now time for us to dedicate the Guild, and there are so few in number, so we will be asking others of the congregation, if you would like to join the Guild, please do so. We want to see more people here next year. So we'll start by an affirmation that will be read by Neil.
But this is the national prayer of dedication of the Guild. And though it is a prayer of dedication of the Guild, I think sometimes it might apply to actually to all of us to dedicate ourselves. So let us pray. In faith, we now dedicate ourselves through our worship, prayer, and action to serve you faithfully, to love you with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and to love one another as your Son, Jesus Christ, has shown his love for us. Renew us, refresh us as members of the Guild, as we continue on our journey through life. Guide our thinking and bless all that we do in your name, whose we are and whom we serve, and in whose name we pray. Amen.
I will now ask Neil to join the rest so that the minister can say a prayer for the guild. Let us pray. Living God, we thank you for the example you set us during your life here on earth of how to live and love and give no matter what the cost. We praise you for the many parables and stories that set out for us the way we should approach others day by day. We thank you for disciples and apostles that point the way to you and encourage us in our walk of faith. We thank you that we are part of the body of Christ in this place and ask your blessing on all the work done here. We pray now for all who have no home to call their own, for all who have had to flee in fear, leaving home and possessions behind, for all who are anxious about having sufficient financial means to keep the place they call home. We pray for aid workers who work tirelessly to help the homeless and the destitute, and those who work for justice and human rights. Help us to recognize that we have a vital part to play in the work of building your kingdom in our hearts, in this community, and around the world. We thank you for the opportunities we have within the guild, and we pray that you will bless all that we do in your name. Merciful God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our own guild here in Newport-on-Tay Church. We ask that you bless its members as they work together to embody the love and grace of Christ in all they do. May their fellowship strengthen their faith and their acts of service reflect your compassion for the world. Equip them with your wisdom and fill them with your spirit as they seek to serve you in all they undertake. May their work be a beacon of hope, a source of comfort, and a testament to the power of your love. We pray that you would guide their steps, bless their efforts, and encourage them as they continue to make a lasting impact on our community. We offer this guild to you, O Lord, as an instrument of your peace, and we trust in your promise to bless those who serve in your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Please, you can take your seats. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering and let us intercede. Generous God, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude for all the blessings you have poured into our lives. Today we offer our gifts to you, asking that you will bless them and bless all of us. We thank you for this service of dedication of the guild members and pray that you will continue to increase their numbers and bless the work that they do. We thank you for our church and for all the work of witness that is going on in this place. And now we lift to you the needs of our church and our community. We pray for those who are hurting, for those who are grieving, for those who are lonely, and for those in need of your healing touch. May your comforting presence be with them, bringing peace and strength. We pray for the leadership of this church, for the minister, myself, the elders, and all those who serve in various ministries. Grant us wisdom, discernment, and courage as we lead your people in faith and service. Lord, we also pray for our world, for those affected by injustice, poverty, and violence. We ask that you bring healing to the broken and hope to the weary. Empower your church to be your hands and feet, bringing light into the darkest places. We offer these prayers of an intercession and thanksgiving, trusting in your goodness and mercy. May your will be done in Newport-on-Tay and throughout the world as it is in heaven. Amen. If you are able, please stand and together let's affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Now thank we all our God, hymn 182, as we bring our service to its close. And serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.